C1P. Number 4A.
So we come to the next subtone of spirit. Again, we would have to ask now if soul is that which is above the counterfeit sense. What is the counterfeit of spirit? We always know that the counterfeit of spirit is naturally the belief of matter or material remedies, that there is a healing effect in material remedies. And so we have to rise above the belief in material remedies to the what she calls the moral and spiritual facts of health. That's the epitome here. Rising above material remedies to the moral and spiritual facts of health. How does she say that? She says, well, if drugs, you see, these are material remedies, if drugs seem to heal, it is because our faith in them heals, and not the drugs eat them. It's our belief in them. So mortal mind produces an effect through a belief. And in the same way, mortal mind can remove an effect and therefore seems to heal. So can you see, first she has to show, you know, you think that that material remedies heal. But she says, no, it isn't so. It is just that it is the belief in the material remedy that heals. And therefore, there is no healing agent in a material remedy. And also, she takes up the question of a physical diagnosis and says, although that doesn't help at all, right on the contrary, it induces disease. Therefore, what shall you do if it is neither material remedy that helps, nor the material diagnosis, the physical diagnosis that helps? Therefore, soul says, rise above it. To where? Well, to the facts about material remedies. Namely, to the moral and spiritual facts of health. That's where your consciousness should rest. And if you whisper the moral and spiritual facts of health into the thought of the patient, then they produce really an effect on the body and heal. So can you see again, on the first subtone, what did she take? You see, I really want that you get into the rhythm by thinking creatively yourself, so that if you know the seven synonymous terms, that actually after we have gone through those tones, you should be able to reconstruct that whole part just by knowing how to combine and how to blend the seven synonymous terms. So in that whole passage of soul, we can see that we have to rise above a counterfeit sense. First, about rise above the counterfeit sense of mind, which is therefore willful thinking activity, think power, thought transference, and just rise above that and gather your facts from the divine mind. Then in spirit, she says, well, the belief is that material remedies and physical diagnosis can help, but this is not so. They are counterfeits of spirit. Therefore, rise above them into which realm? Into the realm where you are gathering your facts from the spiritual realm. Namely, the moral and spiritual facts of health are helping in the case. And we go to the next subtone, soul. Here we have the epitome, rising above sensation to Christian Science. You know that sensation is the counterfeit of soul. So here you have soul as soul. Rise above what? Rise above is soul, naturally, the main tone, the subtone, above sensation. And every time that Mrs. Eddy tries to show that we should not rely on the sense testimony, on the senses, she brings in the sense that we should be instructed by science and not by the senses. You know that very impressive talk in Chicago, science versus senses. How does she reason here? She has that marginal heading, transient potency of drugs. She says, yes, it seems as if drugs would have a healing power, but they are actually only transient. Can you see transient, the counterfeit of soul? Because soul is unchanging. She reasons like this and says, yes, these drugs that seem to heal, after a while they lose their power. That hygienic treatment loses its efficacy. And that quackery fails at length. Can you see, she does not say that these material remedies don't seem to help. They seem to help, but they are not a help that lasts, that is unchanging. They are always transient. They only last for a while, and then they fail. Therefore, she demands a change of basis. What change of basis? Namely, from sensation to Christian Science, so that we draw our facts from truth instead of error, from spirit instead of from matter. Can you hear again how she says, look here, you have to change your standpoint. You have to rise above sensation and gather your facts from science. Now we come to principle. Let's see what we could see in principle. Again, we should see that in our treatment we should have to rise above now the counterfeit of principle. What is the counterfeit of principle? It's usually a person. Here it is the physician's. The physician's diagnosis. You see, what is a diagnosis? An interpretation. So a physician's diagnosis of the body is therefore the counterfeit of principle. Because principle interprets itself spiritually, not like a diagnosis. So she says, look here, rise above the whole diagnosis of a physician. He can only really investigate your organs, like your pulse, your tongue, your lungs, etc. But you know very well that your body is only the substratum of mortal mind, and that therefore what we should investigate is mortal mind. So you rise above that physical diagnosis and go into that realm that is the fact about a physician, namely the metaphysician. He shows that the metaphysician knows something very different than what the physician examines. The metaphysician knows that all is mind. See? He knows that mortal mind must yield to the mandate of immortal mind. So again we can see that in the treatment we have to rise above the whole interpretation that we get from a physician, what the doctors say, and rise above it, say, I don't care what mortal mind says, what the physician says. I care only about one thing, namely, that what the divine mind tells me, what the divine mind interprets to me, what I get from the divine mind. Divine mind is the grand interpreter. So I drop all the investigations of a diagnosis. We know so well that a physical diagnosis is not really reliable, especially when that diagnosis is made by the patient himself, because he doesn't know the first thing about medicine anyway, about anatomy and about physiology anyway. But usually he comes along and says, Oh, I have cancer, you know, I have cancer, I feel not well, you know, I have cancer. He hasn't cancer at all, you know. He tells that. He analyzes. And so one shouldn't take anything into account what the patient says about his case. He doesn't know the first thing about it. Well, the doctor may make a diagnosis, but we know very well that even the doctors say that the percentage of a true diagnosis is not too high, that the chance that he makes a wrong diagnosis is rather high. And therefore, even that diagnosis would not be really reliable. And if he makes, from the medical standpoint, a true diagnosis, which is true, it is still from the medical point of view. That's why Mrs. Eddy said, you know very well, that it is not the lung and the organs that are sick. It's mortal mind that makes the body sick. And therefore we must analyze mortal mind. We must find a remedy for mortal mind, not really for your organs, for the body. So no matter what one feels the value of a diagnosis is, it is always wrong. It's never a true diagnosis. We are much better off by turning away from a diagnosis and turn to the divine principle. Rise above the diagnosis. Soul says, rise above it, go to the divine principle of being and begin to interpret the case the way God knows it. And God does not know a lung, or a liver, or a kidney, or a heart, or a head, or a brain, or a bone. God just does not know that. So why should we know it, if God doesn't know it? I don't see any reason why we should know something that God doesn't know. So if we go right back to the divine mind diagnosis, which is divine mind reading, we always start out from the divine mind and let the divine mind interpret itself to us. And that divine mind only tells us those wonderful diagnoses about the ideas of mind, the ideas of God, that they are pure, that they are substantial, that they are intangible, that they are unchangeable, that they are working with power, that they are irresistible, that they are eternal, that these ideas have dominion, that they are healthy, that they are fulfilled, that they are perfect. That's what the divine mind diagnosis is. They diagnose only ideas. And so we arrive at the true diagnosis of the case by seeing the whole case from the point of view of a metaphysician instead of that of a physician, as ideas operating harmoniously. This is what we entertain by knowing the truth, by rising above the body. What do we see at the point of life, subtone of life? I still hope that you can keep the categories apart, which are still in the second part, truth and mind. Truth knowing. Truth as mind. Truth knowing what? Truth knowing soul. Soul says, you must know that which is above sin and corporeality, that which is above body. All right. What shall I know about that which is above body? And here we went through the subtones of mind to principle. Now we come to life. What is above? And here she says, rise above ghostly existence to the way in divine science. Again, we said in the chapter on objections answered that when we did take the main tone of life, you remember that we had those ghostly existence, that which stands in our way is the belief in ghosts, namely in the belief that there is life in matter, that there is spirit in matter. Here again, at the point of life, here at the subtone of life, she brings in this ghostly existence. She starts out and has there a side note, ghost stories include fear, and it's quite interesting what she says here. She speaks about the disquisitions on disease, constantly talking disease. You know, that's why we have tea parties and so on, that we have time to talk about disease. And the more interesting we can talk about disease, the more you have a chance to be invited for the party. But she says really that we shouldn't really give our consent to that. That without instruction in Christian Science, nothing is understood of material existence. That material existence is just like a ghost story. It has no reality in it. And therefore, that we never will know anything about our real existence until we are instructed in science. She indicates here that we should really rise above that whole ghostly farce of a material existence. Why? Because we believe, you know, now comes all the ghosts, we believe we are here without our consent. I think we do. I think every one of us feels we are here. We didn't want to be here. No one has made up his mind and says, please bring me into this material existence. We are here without our consent. We believe we can be removed also without our consent, involuntary. Actually, we have that. Actually, we walk around constantly with that latent feeling at any moment we could be, well, called off, huh? What is it? Kick the bucket or something like that. We never know when we pop off. Huh? We have a feeling that can happen at every moment. Isn't it that we have an uncertain future and we don't know the moment when we will pop off? It's absolutely a ghostly thing. We do not know why and when we pop off. But the reason for it, usually there is no reason, and not a when. And we see danger in every direction. Yes, we do. We see danger in every direction. We see danger politically, we see danger economically, financially, health-wise, job-wise, relationship-wise. We seem as if we were living in a big web of incertitude and dangers, and we just don't know what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. It's really a ghastly situation. And so we are looking for relief in all ways. Isn't that a terrific description? Just a few words about the general state of humanity. That they are looking to every direction, to every way for some kind of a help. So they run to anyone, to the lawyer, to the financial advisor, to the psychologist, to the medical people, to the psychiatrist, to the acupuncture, to and so on. Huh? Just turn everywhere. Where could we get some help, some security, so that our life is secure? And it seems that our life is absolutely insecure. So we go to the insurance company and make an insurance policy, so to secure something about our life. And naturally, we are nurturing in this way, that sense, that life is absolutely insecure. But soul is always secure. So soul here as life would give us a terrific sense that if we rise above that whole material existence, that whole incertitude of material existence, and would find our way in divine science, then we would have a way out. But for that we would have to comprehend what constitutes real being. So here we have a sense that all that incertitude that surrounds a human being, and if that human being is sensitive for all these incertitudes, that is much more apt to get sick with all kinds of sickness. Without any other reason, just that incertitude, that ghastly, ghostly existence, is bringing about all kinds of insecurities. And with these insecurities come all kinds of disease. So, where is the solution? The solution is to rise above that whole mortal existence. This always seems to be one of the most difficult points to do, always at the point of life, to rise above the whole mortal existence and see that mortal existence is not life. It only makes us believe that it is life. And therefore mortal existence is never in danger, because it has never a beginning nor an end. Therefore we have to see that there is only one life, and one way of life, and that is to understand life. That's the way of life. To be instructed, as is said in Christian Science, is the way of life. And so a whole new world opens up in a case when you see that you don't have to deal with a case that seems to be like a spider in a web. No, not a spider, a fly in the web. Huh? Where you never know when that fly is caught by a spider, just bound into incertitudes of life, and we rise above it and say, no, we don't have anything to do with that. We don't have to do anything with a material sense of life. We only have to do with a life that is spiritual and eternal, and that's the only way I'm going. I'm not sticking to any other kind of belief of life. Then you come to truth. Again, we can say we have to rise above what? What is the counterfeit of truth? Here she takes in really the undeveloped sense of manhood and see that actually we should rise above that and see that we are never a mortal, never at the point of trying to find really our true manhood, but that we are always at the point of having found our true manhood. That in science we know what man is. She says, well, naturally, I use common sense. I don't ask the sudden transformation from an infant into a man. Nor do I try to keep the suckling a lifelong babe. But there is a need, really, for spiritual unfoldment. Namely, mankind must improve. The race must be uplifted. And so she presents the man of science and says that mind can do it, because mind imparts only purity, strength, health, and so with that one mind we naturally can find our true manhood. So truth is an alternative in the entire system. You see, truth is an alternative in the entire system. Truth can make every whit whole. We have a wonderful sense of truth, that if we rise above the mortal sense of manhood, of the undeveloped sense of manhood, of the babe sense of manhood, and say, I'm not a mortal, I'm not a corporeal, I'm always the idea of man, no matter if for a time being I seem to have a mortal body, but the fact is that in consciousness I can rise to the true status of man and stay there. And that is an alterative. That is that which changes the whole situation. And so we come to the next point of love. What is here asked? What kind of rising is here under consideration? He says, rising above self-limitations to the science of being, in which all is God and his ideas. He brings out so often the sense of love, you know, without using the term love. She brings out the term love as always that which is all, and the opposite is nothing. The allness of the subject. Here you have the allness as God and his idea. It's a terrific sense here. She says, rise above your self-limited concepts. Rise above limitation. Soul is always that which is unlimited. She says, remember, and then she goes right through the few tones again. Remember, there is no mind in brain. Remember that matter is not a reality. Remember that body is just an erroneous belief that mind is in matter. Remember that. But then see that man as a mortal is just that belief. So that we have buried ourselves, that we have buried the concept of man into our own beliefs, and they have said, yes, can you see, we have buried the concept of man into the limitations of a brain, into the limitation of matter, into the limitation of a body. Now, get rid of those limitations. You have made those limitations. These limitations are not in being. They are not factual. You made them. You believe in them. And so, as a mortal, we thought we could enter into our own limited beliefs. Therefore, she says, your duty now is to rise above these limitations which you have put on yourself and rise into the unlimited realm of the one mind, wherein all is divine mind, all is God and his ideas. My word, isn't that terrific? To say, I'm never going to live anymore in a limitation, neither in the brain, nor in matter, nor in body, nor in a person. I'm going to free myself from all these limitations which I have made myself. I have put up those beliefs, and I was believing in them. And I go right out of that and say, I'm not living in that body anymore. I'm living as the idea of mind and mind's ideas.